This is Doug Miller. Come over and help us, said the Macedonian in Paul's vision. And indeed, they needed all the help they could get. Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best. And he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are back one more time. This side of eternity with the Word of God in hand, knowing indeed that God will, according to his promise, bless his word. It will accomplish that which he pleases. It will do everything that he sends it out to do. So bring your Bibles, come along. We are in the 16th chapter of Acts. And why not call a friend? Tell them to listen in as well. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out to as many as we can get it out, to as far out as we can get it. And, of course, to do that, we require the support of our listeners and interested parties, and we just beg you to pray for Dialogue. Write our names down on your prayer list and pray for us. Pray that God will open doors for Dialogue to go out farther, and that we will have the means to keep going on in this ministry. And tell others about us. You're the only advertisers we have. We would always love to hear from you. Always a joy to know that you're there, that you're listening. If it's nothing more than right on, brother, we're behind you. Our mailing address, Post Office Box 1222, 73083, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Yeah, got a little ahead of myself on that. Anyway, if you didn't get it, just keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you wish to email us, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. And if you wish to pull down our webpage and get the broadcast recordings and so on and so forth, it's Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org. Dialogueministries.org. You can call, and I'll call you back. Eventually, I won't be in any great speed or haste to do it because we don't have a secretary. Just leave a message and I'll call you back. Our telephone number is 405, area code 405-535-9089. All right, let's get to it now. When we were here last, we saw our guys, Paul, Silas, Timothy, Luke was with them. He makes that very clear. We really see it in verse 10, which we saw last time, that the Lord, we endeavored to get across into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach. Now, the we and the us makes it clear that Luke, who is writing this account, was one of them. He was with them in this and was going along. So, good for us. Glad that he was there. Now, let me just set give you a little information here. These are Macedonians. And Macedonia was an area in the north, what we now call Greece, in the northern part of Greece. And I'm not even sure that the old Macedonia is not the same Macedonia that's over there now. A little bit different area, and I'm not sure that the old Macedonia that Paul and Silas were heading for here was not in what today we would call Bosnia or one of those countries over there. At any rate, Macedonia had become to the Athenians and all of these intellectual hotshots and sophisticates down there, the Macedonians were northern, you know, kind of hicks. And yet they had to play ball with them to a degree, because out of Macedonia came Philip of Macedonia, and out of Macedonia came a famous philosopher, Aristotle, and from Philip of Macedonia came a son that the Greeks call Megas Alexandros, and we call him Alexander the Great. And when he was young, Philip brought Aristotle back from Athens to tutor, to be a tutor and a teacher to his precocious young son. And this precocious young son of his eventually stormed all the way to India and all the way to what we now call Afghanistan, where he bogged down and couldn't go any farther. Take note, those of you who, you know, Afghanistan has been the burial ground of many a powerful army. But Alexander spread Greek philosophy, Greek culture, and more importantly, the Greek language all over the world. So that by the time that we are looking at here, the first century and the time of the New Testament, Greek was the lingua franca of the entire civilized world. If you were cultured and civilized and educated, you spoke Greek. And the Greeks themselves always looked down their noses at the Romans. And here we have a Macedonian. And here we have, of course, individuals. When you look at them, the Greeks, here are the guys. Any country or any group, in this case the Macedonians, who produced Aristotle, has got to have a lot going for it intellectually. I mean, these are the guys that changed the whole world with their thought, with their philosophy, logic. Aristotle, in many ways, is the father of logic, and in many ways is the father of science. And yet, this Macedonian in the vision said to Paul, "Come over and help us." Why? Because they were in a world of trouble. Because for all of their intelligence and all of their intellectual sophistication and for all of their power and for all that they had going for them, spiritually, they were in utter and absolute darkness. If they were worshiping God at all, they were worshiping actually multiple gods. They knew nothing about God. They knew nothing about salvation. They knew nothing about how to get to heaven. All of this was, they were in utter and absolute darkness about it. And I want to tell you something. This is, you need to think about this. All of you need to think about this. What difference does it make, said the Lord Jesus in the 16th chapter of Matthew, if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? An excellent question. Thank you for asking that one, Lord. You think about it, those of you who are listening to me. You gain the world, but you miss the Lord Jesus, you miss the gospel, and you go out into eternity, into a lost, dark eternity without him. What have you gained? You leave everything behind. These Greeks had so much going for them, and yet they were in darkness spiritually, and they needed help. Come over and help us, said the Macedonian. So, in the 11th verse of Acts 16, therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. Now, let's say a little bit about Philippi. We know that one of the letters that Paul wrote in the New Testament is the letter to the Philippians. One of my favorite letters, because that letter to the Philippians has so many verses that have spoken so powerfully to me personally. For example, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. How about, to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain? How about this one, where Paul says of the Lord Jesus Christ that he became a man? This is in the second chapter of Philippians. And he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How about that verse in Philippians that says, rejoice in the Lord always? And again I say rejoice. How about the one that says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How about Philippians 4:13? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, isn't it a wonderful thing? What a tragedy it would be for me personally if Paul had never written that letter. And if he hadn't gone across to Philippi here, if no church was established in Philippi, you know, he would have had no one to write the letter to the Philippians to. Well, you can say, well, he would have, you know, the Lord would have seen to it. It was the Lord's will. Well, yes, it was the Lord's will. It was the Lord's will to establish an assembly in Philippi, to have a group of believers there, and to have this letter penned and sent to them. But it is also clearly the Lord's will that it was Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke and these men. It was God's will that they be the ones that take the gospel to these Philippians, to these Macedonians who were in darkness. And these people needed to hear the gospel. And we have Philippi here. We are told here it was a colony, that is to say, It was a city that had been established probably, I understand, by Roman soldiers who had served in that area. And they had colonized it and built a city. Now these men, thank God that there are people like this, men and women, individuals who are sensitive to the Lord's leading, individuals who above all things desire to do the Lord's will and to follow Him and to go after Him and who can be led. They didn't know where they were going exactly, other than they understood we had been called to preach the gospel. So across the Dardanelles they go, and we were in that city abiding certain days. We were abiding certain days. Doesn't say how long they were there. It just says we were there certain days. And I don't know, you know, I'm sure they were praying. I'm sure they were waiting for the Lord to lead, waiting for the Lord to open doors. Some of you who have been called to do a work by the Lord, and all of you have been if you're saved at all, you need many times to just abide, just to wait for the Lord. You pray, you wait for Him to open the doors. And here we get the door opening in verse 13. On the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Now, these are no doubt Gentile women. And you've heard me say it on here before. There were certainly Jews in this city and probably a synagogue. Anywhere the Jews went in the diaspora, they put up synagogues. And these Gentiles many times would go to the synagogues on the Sabbath. If they had any spiritual insight at all, they knew that their gods, the Greek and Roman gods, these multiple gods, that these were not God. They knew that if they had any insight at all. They understood what some of you listening to me don't understand, that the Jews had the true God, that the Jews had the Word of God in hand. Many of these Gentiles understood that, and that's why they went to the synagogues on the Sabbath, and here they are out in a place where prayer was wont to be made, and they started talking to these women. Well, what did they start talking to them about? Well, I'll guarantee you they weren't talking to them about the baseball scores or the weather. They started talking to them about the gospel. Back in verse 10, the Lord called us to preach and proclaim the gospel unto them. And the results is that a certain woman. Now, this is interesting. There are women, plural here. There are a lot of people in Philippi. There are a lot of them. But there is one woman here whose name is singled out, a certain woman, and her name was Lydia. And she was a seller of purple. She was from Thyatira. And this is kind of interesting because Thyatira is, as you will recall, one of the seven cities in Revelation that the seven letters were written to. That's for those of you who are familiar with Revelation. And this is where Lydia came from. She was obviously a businesswoman. She was obviously a fairly well-to-do woman. She had a home. I don't know if she's married. It doesn't say that she was. But I think it is more than of just passing interest that the first person saved by in Europe by these men's proclamation of the gospel over here was a woman. That's for all of you out there who think, well, you know, these gospel preachers, they're all against women. They just want to keep women in their place and blah, blah, blah. You know, I hear it and I let it go in one ear and out the other because it's such absolute nonsense. Paul talked to these women, and this one, Lydia, she was a worshiper of God. She was a worshiper. And it says, whose heart the Lord opened. And she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Well, what did he speak? He spoke the gospel. What is the gospel? You've heard me say it many times on here, that Christ Jesus died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Lydia, no doubt, had never heard this before. She may have heard in the synagogue talk of a Messiah. I don't know what she had heard. But when she heard this, we have here someone telling her about her sins. Here is how you get out from under the penalty of your sins, the power of sin, and someday the very presence of sin. It is not by works, it is by grace through faith. It is by believing the gospel. And it says here, she was a worshiper, and she attended to the things that were spoken by Paul. Why? Because the Lord opened her heart. Now, once again, I know that some of you out there are slow to accept this. And some of you, you know, you don't like to hear this, but I am telling you, I invite you to go back and as openly and as honestly as you can read the sixth chapter of John. No one can come to the Lord Jesus Christ except the Father that sent him draw that individual to Christ. Those are Jesus's words. Pure and simple. No man can come unto me except the Father that sent me draw him. This idea that, well, it's all up to me. It's all about me. I can choose it. I can put it down. I can take it. I can lay it down. Well, I won't come today. I'll come tomorrow. I'll make the decision tomorrow. Oh, no. Oh, no. When the Lord is drawing and when the Lord speaks to your heart, that is the time to be saved. Because if you think, if you are so presumptuous to believe that you can just come back and believe at your leisure, you had better think again. You had better think again. This woman's heart was opened, and she attended to the things that Paul said. And in verse 15, right off, first thing, she was baptized and her household. She was baptized. Now, did baptism save her? Well, if you've been listening to me for any time at all, you know very well that I don't believe baptism saved her, that baptism has anything to do with saving. If we're talking water baptism here, by immersion, that's what baptized means. And while it didn't save her, there is no doubt about it. There is no such thing that I know of in the New Testament as an unbaptized Christian. I talked to a young man the other day about this. And he's a believer, and I asked him if he had been baptized. Well, he'd been sprinkled in this church that he went to. He doesn't see that it makes much difference. Well, it does make a difference, because the word baptize means to immerse. That's what the word means in Greek. You can't make it mean anything else. And if you say the method doesn't matter, oh, yes, it matters. What do we have here? We have a picture of one going down into death with Christ, being raised up with Christ to walk in newness of life with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when she attended to the things that Paul spoke, when she believed, she was baptized. She was baptized. And her household were baptized, and they were baptized, I can assure you right now, because they all believed. They believed the gospel. Paul and these men would not have baptized them otherwise. But when they believed, they were baptized, and they were baptized immediately. Now, if I'm talking to a Christian out there, you've believed, you're saved, but you have never been baptized. What are you waiting for? Why don't you be obedient to the Lord Jesus and be baptized? And, you know, there's no indication in here that someone has to be ordained, whatever that means, to baptize you. I've baptized people myself. I've baptized them in tanks. I've baptized them. I mean, you can baptize. My mother was baptized in a stock tank when she was saved. Baptism is generally performed in the book of Acts by the individuals who do the preaching. Back in the 10th chapter of Acts, we see Peter baptizing Cornelius and his household. We see when Philip talks to the Ethiopian eunuch in the 8th chapter of Acts, he baptizes him. And here we have Paul and these individuals, and they baptize these people. And look at what she says. If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. Now, this is a wonderful thing. If you have judged me to be faithful, that is, if you judge that I have truly believed that I am a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, why don't you come to our home and you stay with us while you're here? And they went in and they were staying with Lydia and her family in her household. And here we have the first European convert. Is this not a terrific story? And it's the truth. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.